Welcome to Everywhere and Nowhere, a Sheffield Wednesday podcast brought to you by The Star, with Joe Cran, Alex Miller, and your host, Chris Holt. It's absolutely freezing out, but guess who's back? Back again, etc., etc. We're here with transfer news and gossip and all the latest happenings at Hillsborough, as well as looking ahead to the weekend's fixture. We've got a new name, a fancy new theme, and some new features, but as Alan Partridge said, That was an absolute shambles. Right, this is what happens when the presenter has to be the producer as well. And I put that on a loop and I didn't mean to. I'm not sure if the intro worked because it went a bit jumpy for me, but here we are. Here we are.
What a bold, royal start to the rebrand of the...
Brilliant introduction. We've rebranded. We're ready to go again. After all this time, you'd think we'd work out how to do it, but no.
I need a timeout, lads. I'm sorry.
Absolute shambles. I mean, next week I'll not have so many different buttons that I have to press. But there we go. Right. Anyway, I'm Chris Holt. I am joined by Joe Cran and Alex Miller for the first shambolic episode of Everywhere and Nowhere. As I said, we have just rebadged it. It was the Star Arts podcast. We've given it a new name. And we're promising, definitely promising, that we'll be here every single week. I nearly said every Wednesday. We're certainly recording on Wednesday, but if they're putting it together, is anything to go by the edit, it's going to be an absolute disgrace. Goodness knows when it's actually going to go out. But here we go. Everywhere and Nowhere. Join us every week. Subscribe and all the things that you need to do that to make us listen. Just do it. Anyway. Right. We are slap bang in the middle of January, which is, of course, a transfer window. And Wednesday, we're busy. Load us in the Fox Nets of Security with us thinking, oh, let's look at this. There's going to be a full reshaping of the squad. We brought in two players in a week, and there's been nothing since. However, as news was brought to us today in The Star, there is a brand new player on the radar. Alex Miller, fill us in.
Yeah, there's interest, as far as I understand it, in a 20-year-old Arsenal striker. Denmark under-21 international. On loan currently at Motherwell in the Scottish Premiership, and his numbers up there have been pretty decent. I think he's got 11 goal involvements in 14 league games. His youth scoring record really puts him amongst, you know, the most highly rated and hotly tipped and whatever phrases you want to churn out young strikers in the country. He was at Arsenal. He was taken to Arsenal from Fulham, where his scoring record was very, very good. Signed a pro deal in 2021. Has been training with the Arsenal first team during this little...
I thought you were calling the Arsenal there.
The Arsenal. Yeah, I'd like with the Arsenal. Well,
like this is 1963.
Could go from the Arsenal to the Wednesday, which would be quite nice. But yeah, look, at this stage, it's a player that Wednesday are interested in. There's a lot of moving parts. We've seen with the two bits of incoming business that they've done already that these sort of terminations of loans, you know, they can be done. But they're a little bit fiddly. Motherwell, their winter break is sort of finishing up as we speak, and they've got a game again on Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see where things have moved along, and hopefully we'll be able to bring you news in terms of whether he's involved with Motherwell at the weekend. But yeah, it's just one to keep an eye on for now. He's an exciting player. I'm told that he's a good player on Football Manager, which is usually a good indication of these things these days. But yeah, with Wednesday very much in the hunt for a goal getter and someone to certainly help out or maybe usurp Bailey Cadamartri in that sort of that central player of the game sort of role, then Beereth would sort of fit that bill, I think.
Did you say his name at the start of that?
Did I not say? This is the clickbaitery that has been drilled into me.
Maybe it was like Cluedo trying to work out who it was.
Mika Beereth. That wasn't intentional. This is
Mika Beereth with a candlestick in the drawing room.
This is an absolute shambles of a podcast, and we should all be thoroughly ashamed of ourselves. Mika Beereth is the player. There you go.
Mika Beereth. Joe, that the fact that he is young, some people will say, well, you've got Bailey Cadamartri, well, you know, he can do that job. But Bailey is a little bit younger, and you can't expect to get even a half a season week on week out of young players like that, given the kind of the physical demands that the Championship places on any player, let alone one who's 18. How old is Beereth, by the way? 20, did you say?
I think he's 20,
yeah.
20. So you've got a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old. There's no reason why they can't complement each other or take turns. Say take turns, but you know what I mean. The courses are courses.
Yeah, I think with the thing with Bailey as well is he's going to tire because of it's his first season in big, like proper senior football. The way that Danny plays is so intense, and the role that Danny wants him to play specifically is so fitness-based. I mean, he runs around so much. Like the press inside of what Danny wants is like I say, so intense that you can't expect him to do that week in, week out. And I think there's also the element of just having something a bit different as well. You want to be able to bring on a like for like if Bailey does tire, not just between games, but during games as well. If say something does happen with Beereth and he's tiring towards the end of the games, you've got Bailey to come in as an example as well. So Wednesday need more striking options. That is very, very clear because, Michael Smith has not really been around it. Lee Gregory is, you know, he's completely out of favour at the moment. And there's talk of one or both of them possibly leaving. And Wednesday need more goals. And I think someone who is youthful with not just a scoring record, but a creating record like Beereth as well. It is one of those that sort of ticks the boxes in a lot of ways. And I imagine Danny has looked at him, and as he has with a lot of players that he's used so far, and seen him as someone who can play in multiple positions, because that is what he wants from his players. He wants them to be versatile. You know, we've seen... not just with Danny, but like Akin Fumero, centre-back, playing as a left-back. You've seen Josh Windass moved a little bit further back into an attacking midfielder. You've seen Anthony Masaba played in various different roles as well. So I think that with someone like Mika Beereth, if Wednesday are to make a move for him, then I think it's one of those where Danny will have said, this is a player that I think can perform multiple roles for us and maybe get some goals as well.
Alex, what was the status of his deal with Motherwell? Was he there? Was he supposed to be there for the season?
Yeah, season-long loan. I had a look this morning. There was no sort of mention specifically that, you know, on either Arsenal or Motherwell's part that, you know, this will be subject to review in January, but they never do. They never, ever do. And
apart from Blackburn, who made it very, very clear that John Buckley...
This is what you come to expect now, isn't it, from season-long loans. It's interesting, you know, Wednesday got stung with the Mark McGuinness thing last season to an extent, the Theo Corbenou thing the season before, and we were all talking about how much of a disgrace it was that these clauses sort of sit in. Wednesday have signed two players on the basis of loan terminations and are looking at least another one. So, the phrase season-long loan, I think within the year, next year or two, I think that'll end up getting looked at because the it's very, very common that these things get terminated now at the January stage.
Joe, where else are they looking? We know that a striker is sort of a forward, not necessarily. Is it a striker? It's certainly attacking players he's looking for anyway.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else on the pitch that that needs to be done, do you think? And is there any movement elsewhere? Are they looking in other positions other than the forward positions?
Well, I think that the striker role is obviously one that they're looking at, but that attacking mid sort of as a number 10, whether it's a central 10 or more wide as he's used Josh and Anthony in, is something that he's looking at. I think a defensive mid is also a role that they're sort of considering, but it's changed, hasn't it? Because the way that Wednesday were looking a few weeks back and the position that they find themselves in now, obviously the Southampton game was is a bit of an outlier there in terms of results, but it's I think there may be a situation where they maybe think that there isn't as drastic need for change as there would have been a few weeks back. There is a desire to get players in, and that is something that they're trying to do as soon as possible. Danny looks he's had a few where he's looked a little bit drained. You know, when we've asked him the 150th question on transfers, it's almost just, can you just leave me alone, please, guys? But yeah, obviously there was the Connor Coventry one that he wouldn't mention him by name and didn't say that was something that that did fall through. But you know, that was that kind of role, someone who's a bit more defensive minded, can sit in front of the back four, but can also play in sort of a bit more of an advanced eight role if they want to as well.
Alex, what about outgoings? I mean, no well and good looking to bring these players in, but that would leave particularly two players that we just mentioned there a few minutes ago. That would leave them further down a pecking order, which at the stage of their careers, Michael Smith and Lee Gregory, I'm speaking about, you know, they don't want to be just sat on the bench. They'll want to be playing as much as they possibly can. Where do things stand with those two and potentially anybody else going out the door?
Well, with those two, from what we can gather, there's certainly good interest in both of them, and that the club have been contacted on both parts. I think with Lee Gregory, that one's maybe a little bit more clear cut on where Wednesday stand with it. I think he's made one appearance in the best part of 3 months now. And I think if the right offer was to be there, if Lee was happy to do it, I think, and I spoke to Danny about it on Thursday, there were some interesting lines in there about the human side of it, and that it's a decision that all three parties need to come to. Lee's a player, obviously, at the back end of his career with a young family, settled in Sheffield. We know that location was a big, big thing for him deciding to come to Wednesday. So there's a lot sort of thrown in the mix there that I think we'd have to satisfy all three parties, including Wednesday. You know, we don't know the sort of deal that perhaps they might be looking for. In terms of Smudge, a little less clear cut. We know that there's interest in him. You know, there was interest in him in the summer and approaches sort of turned down. He offers something different to the likes of, you know, if you're going to have Kadamatri, Windass, if this Arsenal lad comes in. You know, he's got a proven record of being a headache for senior centre-backs, if not, you know, the 20-goal championship season that would probably make him a £20 million player or £50 million player. And we saw in the Rotherham game when Wednesday do set up to go a little bit more direct and match up the opposition, be a bit more physical, than he can be. He can be a really important player. So it's worth remembering that he's been injured, hasn't he, in the last couple of months, and perhaps he might have featured a little bit more. We don't know. But yeah, certainly want to keep an eye on, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks we'll get a bit of clarity on where he's at.
As you say, Smudge is quiet.
Sorry, because I was going to say Smudge is the sort of player you want in a relegation scrap, isn't he? You know, like the things that he brings to the table, the attributes that he's got. You know, when you're when things are getting a little bit like rough and tumble towards the end of the season, I can think of a lot worse players than Michael Smith to sort of utilize either from the start or as a substitute.
Does that point, and this has only just come to me, and I don't want to be critical because we're trying to remain positive here. Does that point to an early suggestion that Danny Rowe could be overly stubborn in how he wants to play, given that once we get to the back end of the season, there's a possibility that you're just going to have to dig in? And if you want players in your squad to dig in, Michael Smith is certainly one of those. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sort of. I think, yeah, it's like you say, it's depending how you look at it. He drew some criticism on Saturday, didn't he? In terms of the way that Wednesday was set up to play at Southampton.
For the first time, really, as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first time there was, you know, it was still a minority, I'd say, but it was a conversation that was clearly being had on social media. And his explanation was that you know, there are certain principles that he's trying to embed at Wednesday. And let's have it right. If they'd set up with two banks of five and gone down there, the chances are that they're still lost anyway. So there's something that I think there's a mentality and a culture shift that he's trying to implement in terms of the way that he's playing and being really, really consistent with that message. And whether they're going away to Southampton or wherever it might be, the FA Cup next week against Coventry, they're going to play with certain principles and continue with it. Now, he's shown, that Rotherham game is the example that sort of jumps to mind, albeit it was pretty early on, that the style of play can be tweaked, but the principles sort of remain in terms of the high intensity and the pressing and all the rest of it. And that's where someone like Michael Smith can probably step in. If, you know, you're going to play particularly at home in a, I don't know if any games are bog standard now in the position that Wednesday are in, but set up the way that Wednesday have done at home, certainly in the last few games, could Michael Smith be that man sort of leading the press and blitzing around for 90 minutes? I don't know. He's clearly gone with Bailey Cademartie ahead of some of the other names in a good run of fixtures now. So, I don't know if that's a cop-out, but it's always like on what side of positive or negative you want to sit on when it's, you know, being true to principles and being consistent or stubbornness, and results usually determine the way that's framed, that sort of thing.
I only say it because I can see at some point when we get to March, when we get to March or something, and Wednesday are still there, you know, it would take a point.
I mean, would it
draw 0-0 with somebody, and yeah, you know, it's prime for somebody like Michael Smith to just come off the bench and give the defenders a bit of a bruising, and people will, I guarantee you that people will call for that. There'll be games later on in the season where people will say we needed somebody like Michael Smith there.
With the output that Bailey's put out recently, would it be a massive surprise if Michael Smith started this weekend? Do you know what I mean? Like, with all the work that Bailey's done, and I think that's kind of where we're at and why, like Alex is saying, I think the one with Michael Smith is a lot more complex, because a lot of the reason he has been out is because he's been unavailable rather than because he's been, you know, left out of the squad, so to speak.
Okay, that's enough transfer talk. We are now going to bring a new feature to the podcast called Who Said That?
Who said that? Who said that? Who said that?
Is that you?
No, it's fellow down the street from me. In this feature, I've put together, brought out some quotes from stories that Joe and Alex have written. And Joe will have to guess something that Alex has written based on a quote or something that Alex has said himself. So, and vice versa, obviously. I probably haven't explained that very well. However,
it will be mainly on
we'll crack on with it, right? I think, first up, this is something that Joe wrote. And Alex, you have to guess who it was who said it. I've got a thing about that song. A friend of mine at Spurs, Callum, is a big Sheffield Wednesday fan, and I sent it to him during the playoffs last season. And where I live isn't far from Aston Villa, who sing it too, but it's Sheffield Wednesday's Let's Have It Right. Who said that in an article written by Joe?
I think I know. I think it's a fairly recent one. Was it Chris Powell?
It was Chris Powell. Good stuff. Well done. 1-0, Alex. I say 1-0. There's only four here. It's just two each. It's probably going to end up in a draw every week. But that was an easy one, I think. Let's see who's next.
This could break our flourishing, long-held friendship and working relationship. This, because
it could do whenever you both of you realize that neither of you are reading each other.
Yeah, I'm not reading that garbage.
Oh, to be fair, if we want in like good ones, just go for Alex's ratings. Because Alex's ratings are always
funny. You should say that. Funny you should say that. Because that's coming along a little bit later on. But first off, for Joe, this is something that Alex wrote. When was this? Earlier on this season. In the last few weeks, he has shown himself to be a fighter, durable through a whirlwind of festive fixture schedule, and able to offer a competent hand to a number of roles important to the way. I just went there, didn't I, before I'd even got to see it. Important to the way they go about things.
Is that Liam Palmer?
It is Liam Palmer. Like I said, two very easy ones to start off with. So that's one apiece. The next one. I'm trying to find out now. The next one is... Let's see. Oh, this is Alex again. Sorry, Joe, so you're up again. In a defensive line that, in all honesty, didn't take much marshalling, he marshalled. And with the quiet authority of a dad reading a book on a sun lounger, he marshalled well. This is from... This is tricky because this is going back a bit. So this is from a match against Morecambe almost a year ago, February last year. Authority of a dad on a sun lounger reading a book.
What does that even mean?
It's so incredibly Miller.
These are the perils of doing ratings straight after matches. You're just rambling. You're just throwing random words out there. With the authority of a... Well, if you look at it again, in a defensive line that in all honesty didn't need to be marshalled, he marshalled.
I just don't know which. I'm presuming it's a centre back, but I'm not sure which one.
Take a
50-50 shot. You say Morecambe when?
February.
Second half of the season. I don't know if Icky was still injured at that point.
Gonna have to hurry you. Only
I'm going to go with the statement. I think he was still injured at that stage.
Who are you going with?
Michael Iekwa.
No, it was the other. It was Aidan Flint.
I'd have gone with Flint. I remember I was very excited about Aidan Flint at that time and writing some absolute nonsensical paragraphs.
Sucked in by the long hair and the
big
headers. Okay, finally, Alex is your chance to win. This one, as said by Cisco earlier season, he's an animal. He's our best player in the duels. He's strong, he plays forward, he understands the situations, and he's one of the guys he is closest to what the championship demands. Who was Cisco talking about? He is an animal.
There were some great lines from Cisco. I enjoy Danny calling people a weapon.
Was it? I remember you headlined this, Joe. I think I remember you headlined Animal.
He did.
I will go for Ian George Byers.
No, it wasn't. Do you know Joe?
No.
This is what I like to catch you out. And he doesn't even remember his homework.
I remember writing it.
Joe and I have buried the Cisco era deep into the back of our the corridors of our minds. It wasn't Tyreek, was it?
No.
It wasn't Tyreek. Was it Masaba by any chance?
No, it was Akin from you. Akin. You know.
Yeah, I do. I remember writing it. We've written a few stories since then. A few bits.
So, Alex didn't get that either. So that finished 1-1. I'll take a tally of that. We'll count it up at the end of the season. There you go. That was the end of.
Who said that? Who said that?
The secret of great comedy is timing.
Yeah.
We're going to finish off. We're not going to finish off. We want to talk very quickly for a couple of minutes on the goalkeeper situation. We'll keep this very quick before we move on to Coventry. Just very briefly, Joe, where do you think things stand in terms of the goalkeepers? Given that Cameron kept his place last week, which obviously it would have been very unfair of him to have lost it given the events of the week before. But are we to guess that James Beadle will come in quite soon, or is the place Cameron's until he loses it?
It's an interesting one because he's spoken sort of quite regularly about how he doesn't like to sort of change keepers around and that he would prefer to have a number one that stays number one. But then when we were chatting to him after the Southampton game, he sort of hinted that it will be done based on performances, based on training sessions. So maybe it is a case where he looks at them and decides more on the game than sort of on continuity sort of thing. The tough thing now is that obviously with the Coventry game coming up, James Beale's cup tied for the cup game the following one. So if he doesn't play he didn't play against Southampton. If he doesn't play in this Coventry game, he can't play in the next Coventry game. So by the time it comes to the next one, we're talking like 2 or 3 weeks since he's last played a game of football. And at that point, you're starting to lose that momentum and sort of what's made him so good for Oxford this season. So it's a big call. I think even though I don't think Cam was to blame for any of the goals at Southampton, I think, you know, conceding that many, it gives a bit of an out, I suppose, to put Beadle in and see how he does. I wouldn't be surprised if either scenario happens. I think it's difficult to say without knowing what's going on in the background. But there is absolutely no way that Brighton have pulled him back from Oxford where he's flying and sent him to Wednesday without a sort of very distinct hope that he's going to take the number one spot. And, you know, I think, obviously, Cam's coming for a fair bit of criticism this season, but I think it's just a harsh reality of football, isn't it? He's in a tough situation, Cam. But I think that Danny will be fair, and I think Danny will be, you know, he will allow the goalkeeper that deserves to be there to be there. I'm just because of the situation that they find themselves in now with the cup game coming up specifically, it's a tough one to call.
Okay, thanks for that, Joe. Very finally, in the very final stages of our podcast and our triumphant return to podcasting, Alex. Coventry this weekend, they're in superb form. This is going to be really tough. You're hoping that the home form and the home crowd will kind of drag Wednesday along a little bit because it's a really difficult challenge for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think Coventry's form away isn't quite so hot, certainly in terms of wins. And I think to bounce off the 4-0 defeat at Southampton quite quickly would be nice. I think it would be even better if they could agree to carry the result over to the FA Cup, and then we don't have to go through the groundhog day of two Coventry City homes in in 8 days. I think Wednesday have got results against these sort of teams relatively consistently over the last couple of months. And I see no reason why they can't continue that.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming back and joining what was an absolute shambles. But we promise everyone we will be better next week, and I won't be frantically trying to put together videos within a few minutes of us recording. So thanks, Alex and Joe, for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for watching and or listening. We will absolutely, definitely, I promise, be back next week, and we will be better. I promise you that we will be better. Thanks a lot. See you next time.